morning. My name is Sean Eckert. I am the kids director here at the Community Chapel. So I was going to talk a little bit about faith over fear. And this is going to be like, it's actually going to start off as a good example. Richie asked me, I was like, yeah, sure. Right on the ball. I'm going to do it. But I can't read like at all, pretty much. So I knew there's going to be reading involved and stuff like that. But hey, everything works itself out. I got Malia here. She's going to read the scripture for us. So we're going to jump right into the scripture, and then I'm going to tell a little bit about my story.
All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 through 17. But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, but the Lord rescued me from it all. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know that they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught by the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work.
Perfect. See, everything works itself out. That was a perfect example of faith, believing this was going to happen, and like kicking the fear to the side. So I'm just going to tell a little bit about my story. That's what Richie wanted me to kind of share. So it all started off when I was real little. We kind of went to church, but like didn't go to church. I remember like kind of having a hard time when I was little. I used to stutter severely bad, where else I stuttered so bad that I had to sing to speak. And I told myself, get yourself together, Sean, right now. Because you guys got to remember, this isn't a story about myself. It's a story about how God can change people's lives. Okay? So I'm trying to bring myself in here a little bit. So let's get into the story. So I started off little, elementary, middle school, going to church. I'd be there because my family went, and it wasn't consistent. But I was that kid that would be like in the bathroom, wandering the halls. I'm outside. I'm doodling on, tithing envelopes. So, I knew who he was, but I chose to ignore him big time. And I remember going through this time in life, elementary and middle school. And I remember like becoming a little bit older in middle school and like dabbling with, addiction, like doing drugs and stuff like that. And it became like my life. I ended up hanging out with people. I don't like to call it a gang, but like hanging out with a group of people that I shouldn't have. We were doing bad things. I was a bad person. In and out of jail. Pretty much all of my middle school, high school life, getting in trouble constantly. It's not that I was a bad person. I just was doing things I probably shouldn't be doing. So this is where like the faith and the fear come into play. The things I was doing, I should have probably been in jail for life, but God's faith stayed super strong, like to me. Like his faith never died. He knew I had more stuff to do in my life than sit in jail or like not be here. So the older I got, the more trouble I got. It just was getting out of hand. I ended up, being arrested so many times, it was just getting ridiculous. I ended up overdosing on drugs. So the story wasn't too, my life wasn't where it probably should have been. I ended up, trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. I knew the things I was doing wasn't the right thing because the fact of the friends I hung out with thought it was good, but I remember talking to God when I was younger. I got baptized like in middle school because I knew who he was. But, as I said, I chose not to like listen to him. So like, but he was in me, like in my body, constantly prodding me, constantly telling me stuff's wrong. So I ended up meeting my wife. she's in the back there. She was like, hey, what are you doing, dude? You know, so she knew what I was about, and she knew that I wasn't gonna be like that forever. So she kind of like chiseled at me, you know, encouraged me to be better, encouraged me to like become sober and stuff like that. Ended up, getting off of drugs. We ended up having my son. She was pregnant, and I was like, okay, I got off of drugs, but I'm still on alcohol. I'm drinking. I replaced it, with drinking. And, it was pretty wild because it's like, I wanted to stop and I don't understand why I couldn't. And then I remember him being born and I was just like, okay, it has to end. This has to end. We need to change our lives. Now you got to understand, we didn't like go to church. My wife didn't go to church. I mean, to the point of her dad's a Wiccan. He's like an actual warlock, like he did witchcraft, you know what I'm saying? So she wasn't like rolling in church. We weren't like, skipping on in. So it's like, for some weird reason, I don't know what it was. Vinny was born and we just like, oh, let's go find church. It was so random. Like, I don't know whose idea it was, to be honest. And we were discussing this. I was like, I don't know. Like, why did we even do it? I have no clue. I think, I apologize. She did remind me. She said when Vinny was, forming in her, they were doing tests and they were scared that he was going to have like autism or some type of disability. So I know that kind of was probably in the back of our heads, but we can't say for sure. So we ended up just going to church after he was born. We went to one church. It was a very, now this is where the faith is again. It was a very weird church. We went, it looked awesome. It was like big. It looked like it was good. But the guy, I'm telling you for real, he would stand up front. I mean, when you walk in the church, there's a giant old painting of like him and his wife. Like we're talking about big. And we would roll up in there and we're sitting down. We're like, okay, cool. This doesn't sound bad. The music's okay. We're like, okay, let's see what he's going to say. He gets on the mic. He's like, good morning, church. What's up? We're going to pray. And he gets into praying. And he's like, oh, it's getting crazy. And he's like, shaking and doing all this like bobbing and weaving up there. And he's like, okay, this is healing. We're going to heal. I need $1,000. Bring it up. I need $2,000. Bring it up. And people are writing these checks, just bam, 5,000, 2,000, just coming up like it's no big deal. I'm like, what is going on? I was like, this ain't right, man. I was like, this isn't, something's weird here. And I was like, no one does that. I was like, come on, guys. So we ended up like going there for a week and we're like, okay, this ain't working for us. So we ended up, we're originally from Baltimore, like Maryland. We were in an area called False Point, and there were some people out there giving out waters and stuff, and we grabbed water. He's like, oh yeah, come check us out. We're in, it's called Baltimore Blast. It's like an indoor soccer field. And we have service. And I was like, cool. And the guy's young. I was like, well, check it out. We ended up going there, and it ended up being a cool church. And we ended up, because last time I went to church, it was more like a hymn style of singing. Went to church there. It was like more alternative style music, like Christian music, like new style. I was like, oh, this is really cool. And that's where it kind of stuff started happening. I was like, oh, this is cool, Started talking to people. They took us out to lunch. Kind of made like a little, a little pack with them and stuff. It was nice. I got to like listen to the word because of course I can't read, so hearing it's nice. And then, Vinny's growing. He's one. And I don't know, man. I started like really wanting to know more about God. So I'm praying all the time. And then out of the blue, Ariel's aunt and uncle live in Austin, Texas. And they're like elders of a church. We ended up going out, both of us getting baptized, because I felt like the first time, I didn't know what I was doing. So we ended up going out getting baptized, which was pretty awesome. So we gave our lives to Christ, good times. And we're like, I'm still drinking now. I didn't stop. Still doing that. Stopped doing drugs, though. Stopped being a criminal. But I'm still drinking heavily. And then it's like, okay, I'm still doing this. And God's like, you need to change something, big boy. This ain't working. So I was like, okay, just praying, just out of the blue. I want you guys to understand, we've came to Florida one time, like Disney World. We didn't go anywhere else. I didn't know what Clearwater was, any of that stuff. Praying, he's like, time to pack it up. you're moving. I was like, okay. I was like, I guess this is a faith thing is. So this is like this is where my, like the faith over the fear. Like, so I'm like, oh, how am I gonna move? I didn't know no one there. All of our family is back in Baltimore in Maryland. I don't even know what Clearwater is. So like, I don't know how I randomly found it. I don't know if we're Googling it. I honestly don't know. We ended up moving here and we ended up moving to Dunedin. For 6 months, we found a place. We could live there for like 6 months. We took a train here, put our cars on it, you know, from like Virginia. Got here. I was like, I don't know, where are we? And we ended up getting here. And then I'm talking about 3 weeks in again with the water, man. I'm telling you, this water thing works. I'm telling you, we were at Clearwater Beach, and I'm like, oh, this is cool, man. Clearwater Beach, you know, Pier 60, all these like people juggling and stuff. And there's people out there passing on water. Here's the water. I was like, I'm going to go. I was like, I'm getting free water. Let's go. And ended up going to Countryside. Okay. Not knowing anybody. I'd never been to church like that. Ended up going. I was like, oh, this is good. Ended up really getting into it, like feeling it, you know, getting into it. And I ended up meeting Richie's younger brother and like the pastor. And I'm like, hey, I see you out there all the time. What are you doing? Skateboarding with them kids. I was like, I like skateboarding. I was like, I'm skateboarding with the kids out there. I don't know. They're like, oh, you want to do youth group? I was like, yeah. I was like, but you know, I drink stuff. He's like, no. It's like, I don't do like that. I was like, do I have to dress or anything? I was like, I don't wear like that. He's like, no, you're fine. I was like, okay, cool. I was like, I'll come to youth group. He's like, because it looks like you get along with the kids. I was like, yeah, I like them. So I was like, went in there and ended up being in youth group for there for like 7-8 years with middle school and high school. And that's where I met Pastor Richie, was there. And you know, I was in there and I'm still drinking, guys. So it's not that I wasn't. Met Richie, he's like, you know, talking. He's like, I'm going to church. I was like, oh man. I said, oh yeah, man. I listened to him preaching and I liked how he did it. You know, he reminded me of somebody like I'd see in the city, like just getting up there, just didn't care, talking to people. And I like that as a person, personality. Like he's acting like a guy, he's doing what he needs to do. So I was like, oh yeah, dude, I'm down. So we end up coming here, doing, you know, starting off the church. And I was just doing like pipe and drape and stuff, you know? So before church, okay, so cemetery now. So before that happened, I was still struggling before we launched and I was praying like, God, I can't do this. I can't be drinking. I'm about to be part of a church and they're gonna count on me. Like the way I appear is what is gonna appear to people looking at me go, oh, he goes to that church. You got to help, you know, hold yourself to a higher standard. So I ended up stopping drinking. So I've been sober for, what is it, like 6 years, Arl? I don't know. I don't keep track. It's been a long time. 6 years, something like that. So we ended up coming here, but like, this is like very important, I feel like, because it's like you come to a place, set up a pipe and trape, and we stayed faithful to what God was asking us to do. You know, I don't want to set pipe and trape. I don't want to come up like hours early, but I did because Richie asked me to, and I gave him my word, so I did it. And then God said, "You're gonna do it because I said." Okay? Because guess what? Because if God didn't put in Richie to ask me, because it's not like we were like hung out all the time. We just knew each other from youth group. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I take stuff like that serious. When people ask me something, I don't think they're asking me just for the heck of it. They're asking me because somebody told them to. As in God, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay, we're gonna do this. And then I ended up staying, you know, staying. And I ended up now becoming the youth director here, which is pretty awesome, you know? So, yeah. Now, you know, I tried to make it short to kind of like squeeze it all in, but it was a big journey, like a big journey of faith, like, because it's scary, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was talking to my son, I was like, well, how do you explain faith? Because I live like, the way I always tell people, they're like, well, what do you know about the Bible? And I said, I live off of faith. And they're like, well, what's that mean? I said, I live off of faith, dude. Because like I go by like how I feel and what God promised. And I hold them to that standards. I go, you promised this, so this is what it's gonna be. I'm not gonna like deny it. Just like if Richie promised me something, I would expect it to happen. So he doesn't say, I'm going to say it in the Bible now, but later I'm not going to do it. You know what I'm saying? That's just it. So I always, people are like, well, you know, I'm faithful. I don't do like that. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, oh, I don't believe in faith. I was like, what do you mean? And I asked my son about this. He said, well, he gave me an example. And I said, oh, that makes sense. I said, so you're telling me if you don't believe in faith, when you leave this building, I'm pretty sure you're faithing that your car is going to be there. I'm assuming, right? That the car is going to be there. So that's the thing. A lot of people say they don't. And then the people that do believe in faith, I feel like they don't maybe give it 100%. So I feel like everyone's like kind of tiptoeing through the tulips in faith, like faith walk. Like, I'm going to do a little bit of faith. I'll faith when I feel like faithing. You know what I'm saying? Like where you have to, like, I feel like your faith has to be all in all the time. Because all the things I went through in life, if I didn't have faith, I would have went right back down. So like, even on top of all my drug taking, not so long ago, I used to be 446 pounds. I used to be huge. And God told me, okay, I got you off this, but also bring your health back. So I also had to do that. So with like, Richie was talking about a couple weeks ago, being bold in your faith. Like, to really, like, really want it. And that's like, just with everything, just like when COVID happened. I mean, a lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people, you know, were off for a very long time. Like my wife, she does hair. She was off for, I think, like 6 weeks or something, like 8 weeks. So she's like freaking out, like, oh my gosh, how are we gonna pay bills? Or what are we gonna do? And I'm like just walking around like, yeah. She's like, what is wrong? Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you so chill all the time? I'm like, because I live off of faith. Like, why would God give us these things and then take it away if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing? It's not like we're doing the opposite of what he's asking. So it's like, I feel like when he's telling you to live off of faith and to do what he's asking, just to do it. Like even during COVID, money was tight. We still tithe because that's what he was asking us to do. You just tithe. And it doesn't mean he's gonna like drop like $500 like in the mailbox, but he gave us other opportunities. For tithing, he gave me online work. I was doing eBay. I was doing these other things that still gave me income. He still said, well, here's these things. I'll still do it. Don't be just sitting around. I'm not going to just hand it to you. He's going to give me the opportunity to do it. So, and that's the thing. People don't understand that it's not just like that when you're tithing. People just assume that it's just going to be like popping off. But I feel like tithing is a very important thing because it really, having a faith like that is showing God that I believe what you're, because you're instead of just, you're actually giving something that's important to you because money is like keeping you alive, like keeping your stuff electrical on and stuff like that. So when you're showing something like that to him and you're like, okay, here's my money, even though I'm tight, it's showing that you have faith. Because I can say I have faith all day long, but if I'm not showing the action, you know, he may not take me serious.
So to do that is not very easy because you can tell from Sean, and that's really not Sean's full story. He didn't tell you the full story. But it's raw for what it is. So you're seeing God take someone from the streets and from the hood and renovate and restore his life to where he is today. So I don't care if you're a gangbanger. I don't care if you come up from the other side of the tracks. I don't care if you would consider yourself illiterate or illegitimate. God could take your life and do wonders with it if you let him. And God is attractive to people like that. Attractive. Those y'all have it all together and people, and you know, I got it all together. I don't need Jesus. I have my stuff. God says, I'll take this one. Because this one has a lot less stuff in the way that I can get to. Because this one's already broken. This one's already vulnerable. He already knows he's not living the way he's supposed to. And so God will take that person and do a work in his life and raise him up and set him on a foundation that's stronger. And so I want you to think about your life and where you came from. Everyone in here has a story. And I was talking to someone before service, and we were talking about the reality of the gospel and the struggle that it is. It is a fight. You're in a fight as a Christian. This is not something that you can do half-hearted. Because if you do it half-hearted, you won't make it. You won't make it. No one's talking about perfect, but we are talking about half-hearted. You know when you're doing something half-hearted and when you're not. And Jesus goes further along to say, listen, if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. I don't even want your taste in my mouth. He said, I'd rather have you hot or cold. I'd rather you be someone who's on fire for me, or I'd rather you be someone like you, because I'll come to that. Because God knows how to warm you up. He knows how to take you from where you are and take you from where you need to go. Timothy is a perfect example of this because Timothy is in a situation of where he is encountering debate. He is encountering dissension in a church that has lost its compass and has lost its way. And rather than walk in faith and obedience, they are stressing debate and dissension. All they did was talk. And Paul said, it's not supposed to be this way. It's supposed to be about faith in Jesus, and it's supposed to be about obedience. Because he said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And so Paul's trying to help him understand that in the midst of this, remember, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. I'm trying to encourage you, Timothy, to stand up and do what God has called you to do. And if you remember where Paul was when he was writing this, he was in prison. And no matter where you are today, the same words go out to you. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And to go further, as we talked about in the scripture, that as a Christian, to be a Christian means to suffer. So if we can't handle suffering and we can't stay in it long enough, we'll never see the change that we want to see. Never. You're talking about a guy who is writing this from prison about to die. Having wrote what he wrote and endured all he endured, saying that you can do this because I've done it. I've done it. Remember, you can do it because you've been taught by others who knew what they were talking about. Paul said, look at me right now. I'm about to die for my faith. Follow me. Do what I did. You want to listen to someone like that. Someone who actually lives their life the way they say they're going to live it, and the response being what it is to say, you know what? I like what I see in that guy because what I see in that guy is worth following. And I think the question you have to ask yourself is what you see in Jesus worth following? If it's not, then you have to make a determination, especially nowadays, of whether or not you're going to keep following or not. There is no time for in between. No time. No time. There is a strong urgency. There's a strong sense of the Spirit of God where he is weeding out people right now in the body of Christ. Now. Now. And so if you are for God, congratulations. If you are against God, there's the door. That's what he's saying. Because what we've done is that we have peddled a gospel that has become so watered down that it invites any type of living and any way of living because we have a God who loves at all costs. But you remember that we have a God who loves at all costs, but there's also consequences for the way we live. There's a God who loves at all costs, but there are consequences for the way we live, in spite of what you hear in today's culture. Your pleasure does not trump God's purpose. It doesn't. If you think it does, you will miss out on the point of the cross. The point of the cross was to bring you into a relationship with a Christ who suffered. And because he suffered, he now reigns. See, what we don't quite understand is the fact that he now reigns and never lives to make intercession for us, but Maria, the way there was through suffering. So I want a high position in life, and God says, your way is suffering. I want the gospel and all that it entails. Good. The way is suffering. I want power. Okay? The way is suffering. It is not just given. You have been given a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline, but guess who has to walk in line and exercise what they've been given? You do. You do. So when I suffer, Sharon, I suffer differently than the way the world suffers. Because I have a hope beyond this life, and that hope does not disappoint. It's the very reason why Paul in prison can talk like he talked. It's the very reason why you can go on your job and declare the goodness of God because of the Spirit of God that's inside of you. It's the very reason why David can go up to the mouth of a lion and kill it because of who's with him. It's the very reason why you can stand up to your own head and tell it to be quiet because of who's in you. It's the very reason why you can enter in and continue entering into the struggle because who's with you. Because the one who's with you is greater than the one that's in the world. Remember, don't forget, going out of the first quarter into the second quarter of this year, what the word of the year was, it was greater. So if greater is the one who's in me than he that's in the world, then I need to understand that that is going to be tested. You think you have what it takes, then you're going to be put on display and the enemy is going to rack at you and come at you from every different angle and say, okay, prove what you got. Prove what you got. You say you can do it, do it. You say you can lift up Christ in that crisis. Lift him up in the suffering right now. Let me see you lift your hands when you're devastated. Let me see you say that Jesus is still good when what used to be around you is not there anymore. Let me see that. And when you do that, I'll leave you alone. But until then, until you prove that you actually are who you say you are, I'm going to keep coming at you. Isn't that what he did to Jesus in the wilderness? Jesus is about to be released into his ministry. The devil comes to tempt him, and 3 points he tempts him, and Jesus comes at him every time. And the Bible says that he left him for a season. You are who you say you are. All right, I'll back off. But you know there were different points of Jesus' ministry over those 3 years that he popped back in. Just want to let you know that what you're doing, Mary Magdalene, right now, what are they going to say about you? You know, she's a prostitute. You're the Son of God, and you're sitting with sinners? Does your father know what you're doing? And as Jesus, and this is not an Easter message, but as you get ready to think about Easter, as he's getting ready to go to the cross, and you know the enemy was in his ear. You know he's in his ear. You're going to die for them, huh? All you have to do is just call down a legion, and he'll come get you. What strength does it take for him to say no to that and yes to suffering? So that you can be lifted up to life. The least you can do is stay in the struggle. The least you can do is lift Jesus high in the struggle and tell the devil to shut up. The least you can do is to do that. That's the struggle. That's what separates the men from the boys in Christianity and the women from the girls, is the fact the least you can do is in the struggles praise Jesus, and in the loss is just to praise him and say, you know, he's still good. Because you know what? When I do that, you lose. He doesn't bother people who are not on their way to something. Listen, I'm not just talking about heaven. I'm talking about life. Don't bother people. So if you're being bothered, you're in good company. If you're in prison, you're in good company. If you're in a little bit of strife and turmoil, you're in good company. Because he sees something. And as a matter of fact, God sees something more than he sees. And God will allow it to be seen so that he can come and bother you, because God knows that he's going to work it out in the end. But you have to be bothered. You have to be. To be a Christian is to be bothered. I mean, if you are not irritated or vexed in some area, you're missing out on the reality of the gospel. I love people, and I enjoy them at times. But this idea where people say, man, you just don't have to struggle. I'm like, where do you live, man? I'm like, I mean, because then I think about, the enemy knows I'm going somewhere. They're not. Because when you're a Christian, all of a sudden it brings you to the forefront of that reality that you are now open game for the enemy. So in reality right now, you know, we're facing a war that's happening in Europe, and I'm not talking about the war today, but I want you to parallel some things. It is open game. In war, there are no rules. Ceasefires aren't really ceasefires. They're temporary pauses for reloading. Because behind the scenes, people are, we got to get the bullets, call them. So everyone's doing the thing. They're trying to regroup, re-strategize. What are we going to do here? What are we going to do there? There's no one stopping. What are they doing? They're planning, how are we going to do this? We couldn't take it, but now we got to do this. And so the enemy does the same thing. They're winning there. What are we going to do here? Let's bring up this from the childhood, and then maybe he'll falter here. Why? Because he still thinks about that, about his parents. And so let's bring that here, because if we do that, then we'll get him to trip, and then he won't praise as much, and he won't be as bold. And so if we can just soften the tone, let's just do that. And so he'll do everything he can to soften it. And then what happens is that you fall into this malaise of just this soft Christianity, and there's no zeal, there's no power, there's no, we're going to take the mountain. It's, we might take it, but it's going to be a slow ride of the mountain. And it becomes real slow, because why? He tries to tire you out. Why? Because that's what he does. Let's regroup. But you got to be on guard at all times. All times. All times. I'm not saying schizophrenic. I'm not saying you got to look around and be paranoid, but you got to be of sober mind and judgment, because he walks around seeking whom he's going to take out. Seeking it. He's seeking it. He's seeking it. If you don't think that he's seeking it and watching right now, he is. Because weakness opens the door to him. Do you ever notice that when he tries to get you distracted, or he tries to get you to move somewhere you don't need to move, all he is doing is operating in his own nature. Own nature. And bring confusion. Because in that confusion, it'll cause you to doubt what God said. Because if God was so good, how could this be so wrong? Or how could there be so much hell going on right here? This is the gospel. This is the gospel. If God was so good and I was standing for so long, why? But because your faith level is in a different place than most, you could see above that and know that I have a hope that doesn't disappoint, and you will not deter me from what God has for me in my life, because this season will end. And I will move on. Okay, I got you. Do you ever, and you, I know you don't want to admit this, but you ever have a conversation with someone, or you're in a relationship with someone, and you're trying to get them to leave you alone? And sometimes you do it, you try to ignore it or try to ghost them, and like maybe they'll get the hint. Okay? That doesn't work a lot of people, because sometimes people keep pestering you. Be like, what's up? What's up? Are you mad at me? And eventually you have to engage in conversation in a light way to try to let them know, hey, this is what it is, this is what I'm doing. And you make up some like false story about how, you know, God's moving me in a different direction. Which could be true. Your silence when it comes to the enemy does not work. All that does is that gives him motivation to continue to move in. Because your silence is permission to him. If you don't stand up to it, he will continue to advance. But when you stand up, it'll stop. Some of you might be thinking right now, I wish it would stop. Say something. And not in, this is important, not in the way that you necessarily have been taught, not in the nice way, because sometimes Christians get very, very nice and go. I wish it would stop. Why is this happening to me? Would you look it in the face and tell it where it has to go? I want to help you understand something. Remember, we're getting ready to close. Paul was not weak. He knew who he was. There are some scholars who said that there are some things that Paul actually said that they could not include in letters because of the way he said it. And I think there are times that when you don't tell and you don't show people that there are things that you need to say to the enemy in private that God already knows. Don't you understand that's why God wants a relationship with you on a deeper level? He already sees past all this surface stuff. He already knows what's going on and what you're feeling on the inside. And so if you just come at the enemy with what you know, you'll begin to see progress in your life. God already knows. The problem is that he tries to get you to hide behind who you are and try to get you to do something that you, it's not really like you. Well, the reality is, this is me. The reality of it is, this is who I am. The reality of it is that if I tell you to go, you have to go. And the way I say it is the way I say it. And if you don't like it, it really doesn't matter. And so, and the reality of it is that because I know the one who is with me is greater than the one, he's greater than you. So I know, that's the reality of it. But what we do is that we sidestep it and then we try to like quote scripture and it doesn't work. You got to get up. God wants to see you in the fight. You.
You.
That's how I get him to leave me alone. And so he understands where I'm coming from. Because when I see who I am, and when I come in, that's why emotional health is so important. We preach it so much. So that when you understand your worth and your value, you come at stuff with who's with you, things have to change. Despite of how you feel about it, God's not looking for you to come at it in a soft way. You're going to have to take up some weapons and go after it. And yes, that means that there are going to be some things that come out of your mouth that are not God-like. But God wants to bless me. He does want to bless you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah, he did. Whoever believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, it is. And who the son sets free is free indeed. Good. But you have a porn addiction we got to deal with. So you're free, but you're not free. So how are you going to deal with it? Well, he's freed me. No, you're going to turn the computer off and you're going to get around a community of people who are going to push you to be better. That's a practical step to take. And you got to make a choice to do that. Fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. Because he's crouching. He's crouching. He's just waiting. He's waiting for the opportunity, waiting for it. You're doing good. You're rising. And all of a sudden, you let go or you let up just for a little bit. Maria, and guess what happens? You're back. So, it took a physical move for him. Physical. And that's not always the case. But some move has to be made. Some move. Away from something. Away from something. That's not good for you anymore. Because if you're supposed to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, how can you stand up and declare the goodness of God if, number one, you don't understand that the blood of Jesus is sufficient, and number two, you never overcame anything? You follow people and you listen to people because of their testimony and what they've been through. Like, they did it. They can be trusted. You don't follow someone who's not been through anything. Just because you love cooking doesn't mean you're a chef. Just because you sing don't mean you're a singer. You got to prove yourself. And so once you prove, and guess what? Then people begin to follow you. And like, okay, I can relate to that because there's credibility there. That's what Jesus said. And even in Jesus' day, they might follow you, they may not. But it doesn't take away from the fact that you're still called to declare the goodness of God and speak your testimony about who God is. And if they go, they go. If they come, they come. It doesn't matter. Either way, will you do it? He died for people who wouldn't even accept him. But he did it. Let's all stand on our feet. Man, come on up. Yeah. Remember, fear less. So, small example, one of the things that my daughter Lexi is doing right now is that she's trying to ride a bike, okay? But not a small bike no more, like big bike. So she's trying, hey, see, when I'm riding, hey, make sure you put your hand in the back of the seat. So we start riding, and then she'll be like, okay, let go. And so as she does it more and more, guess what? She's riding around the block, riding around, and now turning. Now she's like, ooh, yesterday she turned. I turned. Why? Because now she can. She realized she could. She knows there was someone behind her who got her started. But now as she got her legs under her and realized this isn't so bad, she started getting confident. Ooh, I turned. And now she's right. Now she wants to ride. Sometimes it's all just a matter of, hey, can you just get me up on it? And when I start riding, Lord, will you just like hold on to me and then let me go a little bit? You remember What About Bob, right? No, when he's at the edge of the, when his son is at the edge of the pier, remember he's got his back like this? You know, and Bob's paranoid too. He's paranoid. He's not looking. He's scared. And all of a sudden, he lets go and he dives into the pool. And it's like a miracle that it happened. And Bob's dad went crazy. But it was all a matter of someone just had him. Well, first of all, someone was there who just understood him and could relate to the fear. I could relate to you, man. I'm just as messed up as you are. I can relate to you, but listen, we'll go out. And there was something about that relationship that caused that kid to break over his fear. You're not dealing with a God who's messed up, though. You're dealing with a God who has it all together, who will hold you and put you in positions just so you can break out of the fear. And don't you know that God's going to make you to get back up on a bike and do it again if you fall down? That's the type of God you serve. God doesn't quit. So if you're expecting God to let up, it's the wrong God. Wrong one. There are going to be things that God's going to ask you to do. And he has done it during the series, and he's going to do it the rest of the year. Hey, I just need you to look over the edge, and I just need you to jump. And know that I'm with you. Because the joy of you coming up out of that water is going to supersede the fear of what it took to get you in. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Son, I know it hurts, but just don't worry about it. Joy's coming. I know it hurts. Don't worry about it. It's coming. It's coming. If you continue to do it, man, I am just pulling out some stuff in you that's going to free you so you can actually breathe and begin to receive my unconditional love, and you'll begin to understand who you are in me. And once you begin to understand, this is a huge battle, once you begin to understand who you are in Jesus, the whole game changes. Because then it's not just about walking on water. It's like, what else can you walk on? It's now chairs. What else we got? It's a plane? Just put me on the edge. Because you realize that if he's with you, nothing's impossible. Because he got you through that. Now you're climbing on other stuff. Now when stuff presents itself, you're like, just come on. Now it's just, you're going to jump. He's going to catch me. If he doesn't, good. Because you can't live that way no more. You can't live in fear no more. That kid could not go back and be afraid of the water anymore. Why? Because he beat it. He beat the fear of getting in. You got to beat the fear of getting in. You got to beat it. I can't do it. Yes, you can. I'm up here every week. Okay? I can do it. And then, because God knows the secret of your success is doing it. And as God frees you, there's no going back. How are you going to go back to death? Now you got life. How are you going to do that? You can't. Lord, for every person in this room who's on the edge, they're on the edge, they're leaning over something. Lord, they're leaning over. Lord, give them the grace just to jump in. Jump in. Break them off the fear of drowning. Break off the fear of success. Break off the fear of what could happen. Break it off. Thank you, God, that you're going to get in deep. Change the way they think about themselves. Change the way they think about who you are. So that they begin to understand that, yes, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Lord, deal with depression. Deal with bitterness in this room. Deal with it. Lord, help them to understand that you're not trying to kill them. You're trying to help them. But in that death process that they might be going through, God, there's life at the end of it. Thank you, God, for keep pushing them. When they don't want to get up and try again, get them up again. Thank you, Lord, you want us to fly in here. Fly. I can see right now, Lord, just bringing healing to some of the wings that have been broken. Just rebuild them. Rebuild them. Putting it back together so that you can... God will re-break something in your life that has already been broken so that it can be healed correctly. Because it has to be healed correctly for you to understand the benefits of what it means to be strong in that area. Strong, strong. Despite what you hear. There is beauty and strength. Beauty. Peace comes through strength. Joy comes through strength. We live in a world right now that may not be demonstrating that, but that's not God. There is no lack in him. There is no fear in him. He sits on his throne. He's all powerful. Even when you think you're weak, you're strong. Because of who's in you. And the enemy's trying to lie and saying that, well, maybe it'll pay dividends if maybe it's okay just to be a little bit weak. It's a lie. Not that you don't rejoice in your sufferings, not that you don't glory in tribulations like the Bible says, but God is not interested in you staying stuck in a weak cycle of where there is no strength and there is no confidence. That is not God. That is not your God. Be confident. I don't know if I can. God knows you can. This week, something's going to come up. Do it in confidence. And God will begin to change the way you think about yourself. Thank you, God, for the glory that's in this place. Thank you, God, for the glory that's coming. Lord, we know that it's not just coming in eternity, but it's coming now. Lord, that you're doing something on the earth today that has not been done before. And Lord, we are anticipating a great outpouring of your spirit. We are ready for it. We are getting ready for it. For those in here right now who are continuing to stay in the fight, give them the grace, God. Keep going. Lord, we wait in anticipation for your goodness to be poured out on the land of the living, because we know that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,